welcome to episode 14 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Andy, Lindsay, Sandy, and Robin. Our topic this week is one of the four theme parks at Walt Disney World and one of our favorites for grown-ups, Epcot. So let's get started. So let's talk a little bit about Epcot, because I think a lot of families skip it when they have kids. And you can definitely see a lot with kids, and maybe we can cover that in another episode. But what is there to do at Epcot for grown-ups if you don't have any kids with you? Is there anything?
Well, should we go around and talk about our favorite thing? We could do the format where we all say our favorite thing.
All right, you want to start?
So one of my favorite things, and I'm going to steal this from a bunch of people, is the tequila bar in Mexico.
Yay!
With all their awesome different flavors of tequila. They have that, and they have different margaritas, too. So, like, last time we went, there were five of us, and we had five totally different margaritas. My favorite was the avocado, but now I'm kind of leaning towards the jalapeno.
But that jalapeno was good.
Yeah, they're awesome.
That was my first time at the Cava de Tequila, whatever it's called, and I was blown away. You guys introduced me to something, and I can't wait to get back and sample.
I like to call it heaven. I think the translation for La Cava is heaven.
Yeah. I'm not sure that our Spanish-speaking audience would agree with that. However, it's a great bar. Robin, do you have a favorite margarita there?
I had a strawberry margarita when we were there in March, and that was really good.
You know, I
can't live without.
You can't live without what, Lindsay?
The horchata margarita. Yeah, yeah. It's the best. It does have tequila in it, but it also has cinnamon and a whole horchata, and then it also has Fireball whiskey. I think.
Oh, wow. I might have to try that next time.
Making it home, I'd be in big trouble.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So I like the jalapeno. It was jalapeno cucumber margarita. That I
had. And
I'm a big fan of spicy things anyway. It suits my spicy English personality. But the cucumbers really kind of, sometimes the jalapenos can really get too much in the way, but the cucumber really kind of mellowed that and just really made it very refreshing.
Yeah, I didn't think it was spicy, really. I mean, I was surprised. I would have expected it, but I didn't think that.
It's very refreshing when it's hot out. Mm-hmm.
So here's a tip. If you are walking through the Mexico Pavilion and you see the outdoor frozen margarita bar, and there's a big, long line, always go inside. Sometimes there's a line, but it goes a lot quicker.
Yeah, not as many people know about La Cava. And it's inside in the air conditioning, too.
Yes.
So,
yep.
Yeah, that's a double plus. Yep. I actually get the classic margarita there, and people laugh at me, but it's really good. I mean, it's really excellent. And you can also get tequila flights there, which I think we're going to have to do on a dare one time.
Tequila tasting there once, and it was fantastic. They also have some great little small plates in there. It's a nice little cool place to hang out if you can get one of the reserved benches.
Was that during the Food and Wine Festival? Because we were in there one time and saw it set up for a tasting.
That was, I believe. It was during last year's Food and Wine Festival.
That is the one drawback, though. We mentioned if you can get space in there. It is rather compact.
Yes.
Right.
And speaking of the small plates there, by the way, just to go back to that, the guacamole there is really excellent. We didn't have a chance to try that, but it's really quite good. The setup is better now, too, because they used to let you stand at the bar, but they don't now. You order at the bar, and then you can either go sit down or you move on. So, Robin, what is your favorite grown-up thing to do at Epcot?
That's a good question, because I haven't been there without kids for a while.
So is there something you walk by and go, oh, man, I wish the kids...
Is there something there that makes you forget about it?
Well, that would be the margarita. Probably just going and checking out all the different pavilions, the things that I would have gotten nagged about.
Yeah, I think a lot of people skip some of those movies that they shouldn't, even though they're a little dated. And I've commented on this frequently, and I'll just be negative for just a minute. I think that it really is a shame that China and France have not updated their movies, because the countries are just not represented as well, especially China. China has changed so much since 1980. And really, that movie needs to be updated. I mean, it is a whole new world, borrowing from the wrong country. And it needs to be updated. But they're really interesting. It's still worth seeing, at least from a historical perspective. So.
Yeah, but a lot of the architecture is very authentic. I mean, I love, you know, okay, it's a lot of it's cliched because it has to be in a small area. But I love the Germany Pavilion. I mean, I lived in Germany for 3 years, but it just takes me back. I could, you know, almost kind of squint and see that I'm walking along the street in Rotenburg in Bavaria. The architecture is just the same as, you know, some of the German style in southern Germany, Bavaria area. It's the same I get the same feeling in the Italy Pavilion. It's just, you know, you feel like you're just walking around a street in, you know, it could be anywhere, Florence, and maybe even Venice or Rome. It's just a really, really nice little atmosphere. And I love those little touches that Disney have put to things and made the countries in miniature.
I think the key is going into the pavilions, not just skirting mm-hmm. by them. But, like, you can almost get lost in Morocco.
It's like a TARDIS. It's a lot bigger than it looks from the outside.
Exactly.
It really is.
Really touched on something that gets taken for granted. I don't have children, so when I go, I do a lot of people watching at Epcot. I will sit and absorb the atmosphere, and I absorb the music, and I'll grab a dessert, or I'll grab a beverage or something from that country, and I'll walk around and look at every single little thing. And I think sometimes when people are rushing through with their family to get to the next ride, or to get to the next Perry adventure, to get to that next thing, they don't really get to soak it in and really appreciate
the. Well, my favorite thing, I mean, we've touched on the drinking, and that is one of my favorite things to do. And I've come close to drinking at every pavilion in one day's trip to the World Showcase at Epcot, but I think there's always one that typically beats me. But I actually like the rest of the park. I love the science and technology aspect to it. I do just like wandering through and just seeing that's constantly changing in some of the pavilions. It's just you've got a little bit of everything from the land to the living seas, engineering at Test Track, and since they've redone a lot of these, there really is a, you know, and they touch on space at Mission Space. Thank yeah. you. So there is a lot of all that sort of technological experience, and I for one just love taking all that in.
Yeah, and, you know, Mission Space is actually, as far as thrill rides go, I mean, you can't get more intense. Well, I guess suppose you can get more intense, but only barely. And it is, I mean, it's supposedly very realistic. You know, astronauts have ridden it and said that it's, you know, that's very much what it feels like to go into space. That's kind of a cool thing that you can actually experience something like that if you can stand it.
It almost got the best of me. Mm-hmm.
Definitely save it for before the margaritas, not after.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Pace yourself. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, I love Epcot, but I do wish they would update some things. Like you mentioned the films for the countries, but I guess it was last year I went to the Universe of Energy for the first time in like 20 years.
Stupid and, Judy.
Yeah. I know. And so I was with some friends of mine, and we all worked together at this solar company for a while, and they were like, they were making fun of it the whole time, you know, but they could update the energy thing for sure. Like there's a lot that's come a long way since the 80s.
Although it's interesting, some of the full circle stuff, because I remember seeing it probably 10 years ago going, nobody knows who Bill Nye is anymore. And now everybody knows who Bill Nye is again. So I guess he's like resurged in popularity. I think actually Jamie Lee Curtis is probably less known now than Bill Nye and Ellen DeGeneres are. So yeah.
And Ellen's kind of reinvented herself.
Absolutely.
As well. I do like that particular feature at Epcot because, you know, typically I'm there when it's hotter than you know what outside. And it takes 45 minutes to go through and it's all air conditioned and a lot, and it's not very busy. So you can, right. And they run quite a lot of them, they're back to back, and it, you can get in there pretty quickly out of the heat or out of the rain.
Right.
Take some time off.
Take your nap.
And just
relax. I was going to say, okay, we're going to have a little honesty poll here. Is there anyone in this podcast right now who has not fallen asleep in Ellen's Energy Adventure? Lindsay is raising her hand.
Lindsay, have you been on it?
Lindsay.
I've never fallen asleep in any of the Disney attractions ever.
Not even nodded off for a second.
No. I'm the person that can't sleep on a plane though. I can't, uh-huh. You know, I can't get.
So have you guys done the sum of all thrills in Inventions? It's where you design your own roller coaster and then you get
I have.
This virtual
yeah.
roller coaster and flips you around and stuff?
I have. My experience with it is that you either have a really lame ride or you actually want to die before the ride is over. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground on that one. Has anyone else done it?
No.
You realize?
No.
Really? You guys need to do it. It's on the Interventions, I guess, East. It's the one closer to, like, Test Track and Mission Space. Mm. It's the same company that did the technology for Toy Story.
Yeah. My parents go to Disney every year, just the two of them, for usually 3 days. And Epcot is the one that the park that they always have to go to.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, the other parks, they might skip one each year because they're only there for 3 days. And Epcot is the one they go to every year. And they love it. And they just, they love being able to eat foods from different countries and to be able to walk around and people watch. And they normally go in January when it's not busy.
So speaking of all the foods, I'm going to take a guess. Lindsay, what's your favorite thing about Epcot?
Oh my gosh. My favorite thing ever is Food and Wine Festival.
See, that was a perfect segue. I knew it. I knew it.
I was on a Mediterranean cruise, and my husband seriously almost threw me overboard because I was whining about missing Food and Wine Festival. I can't live without it.
I might have thrown you overboard as well, but so what's so great about it? Why is it your favorite thing?
I love it because I'm not before Food and Wine Festival, BFW. I was not a very adventurous eater. I was super picky, and I love the fact that it has broadened my horizons, and every single event I've done, whether it's been the tastings or the food, cheese and wine pairings, or just even walking around and sampling from each of the kiosks, I have pushed my culinary limits. Like the things that I would never order off the menu in a restaurant and would never buy a big plate of out of fear I wouldn't like it. I love that I can challenge myself. And if I don't like it, I take a bite of it, it goes in the trash. It was $4 and I don't feel, feel extremely wasteful. The positive side of that is there have been very few things I've tried that I haven't just fallen in love with and got, it's like Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
They do start putting out the Christmas decorations at the end of it. So yeah, there's that.
It's true.
Yeah.
Especially if you have picky eaters, if you have kids, you know, even I know we're talking about adult stuff, but if you have kids who maybe you want to get them to try a little bit of something that you'd never, ever get them to do, it's the perfect place to do that. It's the perfect place to push your culinary boundaries.
I do like the fact that you can, even if it's not during the Food and Wine Festival, you can go to the different pavilions and get a taste of the local cuisine or from that particular country. And, you know, for people, you know, who've spent a little bit of time overseas, for example, I do miss, you know, some good German potato salad or bratwurst or something like that. And I also like the fact that the pavilions have staffed by people from those countries. It's a 6-hour drive from South Carolina to Orlando. It doesn't cost me that much compared to a flight to Germany. And I get to sort of practice my German on some poor unsuspecting cast member at the German pavilion who doesn't quite know what's going to happen when I ask for or something like that and rattle it off in German and then proceed to have a conversation with them. And it's like, oh, you do actually speak German. And, you know, I just like that because it's the authenticity of the place. That it's not just, it could have been done that they built the pavilions representing the different countries and then just staffed them with anybody. They didn't do that.
Yeah,
and it just does lend that air of authenticity to it.
And I think the nice thing about Food and Wine is that it adds to that. Even though, I mean, granted, if you go to the New Zealand pavilion or New Zealand kiosk, they're not going to be Kiwis there to serve your food. It's just standard cast members. But I know it's very disappointing. I should fly people in just for this event. But still, you get sort of that extra. You get to try all sorts of things that you can't try year round. And I agree with you, Lindsay. And actually, it's funny because my first experience with Food and Wine Festival was in 1999, and I was at Walt Disney World on my honeymoon, and I'd actually never been there during Food and Wine before. So I didn't actually plan anything for it because my husband had never actually been to Walt Disney World, and we had 4 days at Walt Disney World, and then we did a 3-night cruise. We actually had table service meals planned every night because it's our honeymoon and we're adults, and I wanted to try some of these great restaurants. And by the fourth night, we literally were waddling out of Walt Disney. I mean, we barely made it.
And then you go on a cruise.
And we passed by at that time, the New Zealand booth was actually really close to Canada. And on our last meal, our final supper, we ate at Mexico, and we were walking back to the secret entrance for Epcot, which is another little hint that if you're, as adults staying there, if you're going to go to Epcot a lot, you can actually enter World Showcase between England and France, and you can walk to the Boardwalk, the Beach Club, or the Yacht Club. They're all, like, right there. So we were staying at the Boardwalk, and so we were coming back from Mexico, and as you walked past Canada, you could smell the lamb from the New Zealand booth. And we literally looked at each other, and we were like, I can't eat anymore, but we got to try that lamb. And so that was actually the only thing we had from the Food and Wine Festival that year. And as soon as we had it, we were like, we made a huge mistake. We should have actually not eaten dinner one night, and we should have done this, but we didn't. And so now we go back almost every year for Food and Wine because we missed it that one time.
One time my husband and I we had our 15th anniversary, and it was a trip with my parents and the kids. And one night my parents kept the kids and we went back to Epcot for the party for the census. To be honest, I mean, it was good. I think it would be more fun with more people. I liked having the special seating for the band because it was a band we actually wanted to see. I would have rather taken the $300 and just tried everything around the World Showcase, I think, for that particular event.
See, I love Party for the Census, but I stuffed myself so full I kind of rolled out of the game there, too. But I do agree with you. I've done it twice, but I did it by myself, and it does get a little bit lonely.
Yeah, people save the tables for their friends, and you end up having to walk so far away. I mean, it is cool. They have the Cirque du Soleil performers are there, and it was an anniversary thing. I wouldn't do that every year. I'd put that money towards just hanging out in the rest of the countries.
But that's the other cool thing about Epcot is the variety of special events you have. I mean, you get into the holiday season, have the kind of like processional with celebrity narrators reading the Christmas story with a huge choir and orchestra and usually, you know, fanfare. We got to experience it a few years ago. Gary Sinise, Lieutenant Dan from the Forest Gump. And he was just incredible. He just has a voice that projects and just added some gravitas to the whole proceedings. It was just very, very moving.
Yeah, that's a good one. I bet he would be good. Mm-hmm. There's some that I don't know who they are.
Well, but even like Morgan Freeman has done it. I mean, yeah, there's some huge
names.
Neil
Patrick Harris is always there.
The one I would like to see, though, is Molly Matlin, the deaf actress. Mm-hmm. I think that would be incredible to see her sign it. They have a wide variety from country artists to actors, Broadway performers. I'm sure it's a different experience, no matter who, to Whoopi Goldberg. I do like the candlelight processional. Pair it with a nice meal beforehand, priority seating. Just don't get separated from, here's my tip, don't get separated from the rest of your party. My wife sent me to go pick up some pictures from right at the front entrance to Epcot. I had the tickets, her cell phone died, and we were getting close to the performance time. So I went to the front to pick up the pictures, and I had the tickets to the candlelight processional, and my wife's cell phone just ran out of battery, and I couldn't get a hold of her to figure out where she was. She was wandering around, and they turned the lights down. It was very, very hard to make out facial features. I kept waiting by the entrance and to run into each other about 2 minutes before it was due to start. They were about to give our seat away. So my tip is just make sure that you don't get separated from your party, and if you do, that you have enough charge on your phone.
Have a plan, like an old school plan.
Yes. Old school plan.
Indeed, or sort of practice semaphore.
Well, holidays are awesome at Epcot, too. Every country does their own little thing. And
they do storytelling.
Yeah, they do.
Really fascinating.
Yeah, it's cool.
So my favorite thing at Epcot, which we barely have time to talk about, is actually Soarin'. That's my favorite ride at Walt Disney World. I'm a total nerd. I can't help it. I love that ride. I have to ride it every time. But as lame as that favorite thing is, because it is just an attraction that's there year-round, I would say also, we just actually recently got to do something that I'd been wanting to do forever, and that was sit in the pub at the UK and sing drinking songs and just hang out.
Elizabeth.
It was great. It was really great. And I think that it was really, really fun. And we had rude people like curse at us, and we had several
very authentic. Yeah.
It was very authentic.
It was like a Friday night in Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly. So that was really fun. And I never
got on the town without an angry Irishman.
And that's something that I've just never taken the time to do, because usually you're sort of rushing through Epcot, or when I've tried to do it, it's been so full that I haven't been able to get in. So we were able to snag a table, and we did sit there for probably longer than we should have, but it was totally fun. I think that's something about Epcot is you could hang out in a country
for and a couple of hours.
My dad discovered that was a thing in 1984.
So now we have to come every year.
Yeah. He turned me and my brother loose, and they're like, we'll be in Germany, and you can take the monorail. Yeah. I was 12. That was nice.
So the moral of this story is everybody ditch your kids and go to
Epcot. Yes, I agree. And
no,
back.
I don't want to frame it like that, Lindsay. I mean, I think.
Yeah, we need to do a whole show on.
I think we just proved that Walt Disney World isn't just for children.
Yeah.
But I think we should do a whole show on Epcot with kids because it is my kids' favorite park.
Yeah. And I do think it gets underrated by families.
Yeah.
That is our show for this week. On behalf of Robin, Sandy, Lindsay, Andy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we will see you next week. Gotta fly!